Podcast Network, AfterBuzz TV, over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries, and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Good evening, AfterBuzzers! We are here at the AfterBuzz TV studios discussing everything American Horror Story. I am your host for the evening, David Skifalitti. My normal panel is not here tonight. I'm really sad about it. But
thanks.
No problem. I am joined by Pega Red.
Hi, everyone.
And Julie Ovcharski for the first time.
Hello.
Welcome. Now, you are a fan of the show.
I'm so excited to be here.
And you have been watching.
Oh, yeah.
So before we get into it, we are doing season 4, episode 9, titled Tupperware Party Massacre. Talk to me, Julie. How have you liked the season so far?
I really like this season. I like the fact that, I liked in the beginning how they were incorporating, like, the music aspect.
Mm-hmm. Which we've sort of missed.
Yes. I mean, they've kind of, like, it's dwindled towards the end. That's what I loved about Coven, was that they incorporated music that people loved, and I feel like it really gets people into the show. So that's one thing I like about it. Also, I'm a makeup artist, so I obviously love all the makeup, because it's amazing, amazing on the show.
They kill it.
And it's really dark and twisted. Like, Dandy's super dark and twisted. Probably the scariest character ever.
Best character ever.
Mm-hmm. So good.
I want to talk about him right off the bat, because the episode sort of titled after what happens, or centered around his character tonight. Mm-hmm. So Dandy is sort of, I want to say, flying off the handle.
Mm.
Would you say that's appropriate?
Yeah. Right? I mean, I feel like he's reaching a whole new level of feeling invincible,
mm-hmm,
and godly. I mean, he says it so many times throughout this episode, I am God. And it's like, God!
It's
like, that's
scary.
Terrifying. Like, when somebody thinks that they are God and nothing can get in their way.
Well, I feel like it's sort of, he goes to Esmeralda and he's having his, like, fortune told, or she's, mm-hmm, looking into his future, looking into the crystal ball, and she sort of tells him that his future is clear,
mm-hmm,
but there is a shadow looming from the past, but he's going to get past it. And I feel like that's sort of what sent him over the edge into this, I'm a God-like person.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Yeah, she totally, like, perpetuated his craziness, I feel. Obviously, unknowingly.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like any little piece of, like, positivity or positive reinforcement that he gets just, like, makes him go completely insane. I feel like he's sort of a play on, like, privilege in America, and just how, like, power can, like, totally get to somebody's head. Like, he has all this money. He's been never told no, like, his whole life, and now he's a murderer. So it's terrifying.
And I also feel like he needs to be in control. And so for her to be looking in this crystal ball and foreshadowing what's going to happen, he's like, oh, heck no. Like, I'm going to take control. I'm going to kill all these people and do what I want.
Yeah.
Like, he's not going to give up that godly power that he thinks he has.
Right. Very interesting way that you guys look at that. I like it. I don't know why. My eye's really itchy. Sorry.
Get it out.
Get it out. Something's in my eye. But he goes to the ladies' Tupperware party house. I don't know what to call that. Whatever.
Finger-banging party.
I mean, it's sort of, I mean, that's sort of exactly what it is. I mean, do you think that he followed Jimmy there? I mean, because how is he to know, like, these women are doing this at this house, or is it just sort of a happy accident that he stumbles upon?
I think he followed him because he said, he's like, I'm going to destroy everything. So I think that he framed him on purpose.
He was out for revenge.
Oh,
yeah.
Dandy's a smart one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, I sort of don't give him that much credit for being sort of this evil mastermind.
Yeah, because he's so boyish.
Yeah.
Right? Like, in the beginning, it's like, if you're happy and, you know, and he's singing these, like, boyish songs and making puppets.
He's terrifying.
So, yeah, he's so terrifying.
But in the best way. And that's something that we forgot to talk about. Is that we were completely wrong with our predictions last week. You ladies were not here, but we predicted that it was going to be one of the twins' heads on that body, on his mother's body, but it turned out to be the Avon lady's head that he created.
Very random. Avon lady, who he doesn't know her name.
No, but he created his own, like, Bet and Dot to play with and sort of turn them into, like, this giant human marionette, which was terrifyingly amazing.
And being God and creating, you know?
It's like all these childlike aspects that are just taken to like a super dark place in the show. But I feel like every season has touched upon like people's different fears. Like the first season was a haunted house. The second season was an insane asylum plus aliens, which was a little bit off the handle, but whatever. The third season was witchcraft. And it's like now I feel like they're tapping into like people who are afraid of like clowns and childlike weird shit.
Well, do you think that because of the way that this season has been set up and the way that they're telling the story, that the producers of the show are sort of setting us up for American Crime Story, which is the new show that Ryan and Brad are going to be doing next,
maybe
I'm gonna say spring summer
thought.
Well, he also Ryan Murphy did say that in an article recently that all of the shows tie in together. So I'm interested to see how that's going to play out. Maybe we'll see on that new show that they're doing.
Maybe.
We have news and gossip on that later.
We do have news and gossip on that later. but moving on, Dandy goes to the Tupperware party and he kills all the women there and he brings the blood home, and this is sort of
in
like
in the Tupperware.
Yes, in the Tupperware. I mean, how else are you going to get it home?
Yeah.
And he has sort of figured out that he loves bathing in blood and he feels that it's been giving him power and that this is the source of his power.
Yeah, because when Regina comes in, he's like, I found a newly, I don't know, He just discovered that he likes bathing in the blood.
He loves it.
And I loved how, like, when Regina walked in, he was so like, I killed your mom, and I killed my mom, and, like, what are you going to do about it? Like, I am the law. No, what did he say? I'm beyond the law.
I'm a god.
I'm, yeah.
He did say that he was the law.
Right.
And I sort of found it so fascinating that he wanted Regina to join him in the tub because he wanted to share this experience with her. And he tells her that she's the only person in the house that's worth a damn saving and that he doesn't want to kill her.
I feel like later on, maybe the fact that he killed his mom is going to, like, hit him. Because just the fact that he was, like, embracing Regina and, like, trying to get her to share that experience with him, I feel like just shows, like, a deep, like, loneliness that's sort of, like, coming out in him.
Well, do you think that he cared for his mother in that way?
I don't think that he necessarily cared for his mom in that way, but I think that he misses having somebody to, like, brag about his stuff to. Or talk about it or, like, express himself. Because he's, like, he's enjoying all this, but it's very internal.
It is all internal, but I feel like when he discussed it with his mother, she was always afraid of what he was going to do next. And he didn't trust his mother necessarily in that way to be able to share his deepest, darkest secrets.
Yeah.
And I sort of feel like he looks to Regina because they grew up together and because they shared, like, a sort of life experiences early on, that this might have been someone
that would accept him.
That would have accepted him.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he finds her a bore.
He does find her boring.
He turns out to be just a bore.
And
get out of here. Like, what? Like, he doesn't even kill her. He's just like, get out. Like, you're not even worth my...
He's the sassiest murderer ever.
Yeah.
He's so great.
He really is.
But he's sort of later on in the episode when she brings the cops back to him, like you said, Peg, she's not even worth his time.
Yeah.
And so he has the cop kill her.
Yeah. That was crazy.
That was shocking.
I mean, that just, like, threw me for a loop. Like, that was one of those moments where you're like, what? Yeah. Now I'm terrified of what the cop's going to do.
Well, I mean, we've sort of seen it throughout the entire season so far.
Yeah.
I mean, this cop is not trustworthy.
Right. First with Meep.
Mm-hmm.
And now this.
Oh, me, still, my heart is still broken about me.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's the epitome of a corrupt cop because he accepts $1 million, which is a lot
Not
of money
even
now.
That much.
No, it's a lot of money now, but in the 1950s, it's even more
That's
money.
True.
Cash.
Like, tax free.
Tax free cash.
True.
I mean, he doesn't even give it a split second
thought.
It was like pointed to him, and then boom,
immediate.
Yeah.
That's what was crazy. Like the lack of hesitation. You're just like, whoa. Like, how sick and twisted is this guy?
Well, you know, it's a lot of money, and I feel like there's a lot of people that would do almost anything.
Yeah.
For money,
yeah.
And I mean, what would it take? How much would it take for you to want to do something like that?
Not any amount of money in the world.
None.
I mean, I'm a good girl, but I'm sure some people out there would consider $1 million. I don't know.
I mean, I could sit here right now and say, like, never in a million years, but I feel like you just never know with what circumstances you're in.
Right?
It's
that's
like,
what I'm
and
saying.
That's what's scary is that, like, the show really taps into, like, the deepest, like, darkest parts of people's psyche and, like,
true.
Why they do what they do. And it sort of makes you, like, look at yourself and, like, you ask yourself questions like that. Like, would I kill somebody for $1 million? It's crazy.
It is crazy because I don't know if I'd do it for $1 million.
Definitely not $1 million.
But
how much, Dave?
Well, I...
Name your price.
I don't know. Yeah. I would have to think about it.
Yeah.
I feel like put in that cop situation, in that moment, I might hesitate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Might.
Maybe.
Maybe will hesitate.
Depending. I
don't
know.
I don't
feel
see
bad
myself.
After I kill a bug, so I probably would be a huge baby and not be able to go through with it.
I don't know that I would ever find myself in that situation.
Well, yeah,
so
I hope not.
Hopefully, keep my fingers crossed that I won't have to ever come across that.
No one's hiring you as a hitman.
Yeah.
You're good.
Nobody. Although, you know. You never know.
You never know.
And things that I was surprised about and never thought would ever happen is Jimmy sort of losing everything and finding solace in Ima.
Oh my gosh, that was a shocker. Like when he was feeding her chocolate pudding.
Well, I mean, it's sort of, I feel like the episode in that part was a continuation of where we left off last week because Elsa was still wearing the same outfit.
Right.
Yeah.
So I feel like that was part of like the same day. And we saw last week Jimmy like nestling himself in her bosom.
For me, what kind of creeps me out about the whole thing, though, is that Elsa, when she had, like, suggested that Jimmy, like, sort of find comfort in Ima, she almost, like, she compared, if I remember, she compared Ima to, like, his mother.
Yes, she did.
And now he's banging her, and I feel like that's really gross. Like, it made my skin crawl, because I'm like, this seed was planted in your head with, like, your mother in mind, and now
you're
banging
screwing her.
That's a little
upset. I didn't connect those dots.
Yeah,
I didn't either.
That was like the first thing I thought. I was like, damn, that's gross.
That is kind of gross. And I didn't... Thank you for connecting those dots for me. Because I didn't find that... I didn't find the fact that he was finding comfort in her that gross. It's like, you know,
no,
whatever.
No, only the mother thing.
But only the mother thing. And I mean, that... Wow. You just blew my mind. Because, I mean, we do see him, and we know that he's grieving, and he he's lost everything in his mind. I mean, he's lost his mother. He lost Mon Petit.
Yeah.
And he lost Maggie.
He lost Meep. I feel like he's like Britney Spears' 2007 stress level right now.
He's about to shave his head.
Like, he's a second away from just shaving it.
I feel like he's past that.
Yeah.
But I feel like, you know, now he's drunk all the time. And I feel like that's Del's fault because he was the one that kind of introduced him to liquor at the bar. And now that's
all
he
does.
Del just
sucks. Although I am starting to find myself feel a little bit bad for Del now. A little, like,
he was slightly humanized this week.
Yeah.
in the respect that he is also sort of in this terrible state, and mm-hmm. he's trying to, like, find his place in society, and he's finally starting to see himself as a freak, because unbeknownst to me, I don't know about how you guys felt, but he, as the strong man, I thought he was associated, he lived in a freak show, and I thought he saw himself as a freak, but I guess not.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just until recently, he saw himself as a freak and couldn't take it.
But not because of his strength.
It was because he's gay, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Which that guy,
Stanley,
he is so gross. And that scene where he pulled his penis out, I wanted to heave my dinner.
Well, Del,
it was horrifying.
I think it was a flashback where Del and Stanley are talking, and Stanley, I guess, is walking. Del is walking somewhere, and Stanley finds him and is like, "You can't. What do you think you're doing?
You need to go find Andrew. Andrew's not coming back." Andy.
I wish Andy was coming back.
I wish
his fine ass.
Everybody wants Matt Bomer to come
back. Well,
yeah,
he's delicious.
He's delicious. You know, we love him. But Stanley sort of whips out his penis, and Del's like, "You're a freak."
Mm-hmm. And he was so shocked by it.
He was so shocked by it. And we still, as the audience, have not seen it. I don't know if we ever will.
I kind of don't want to. I don't think they can
because it's on FX.
Yeah, it's FX.
Can't they show us, like, from behind or, like, a shadow or something? Because I want to see why.
I know, in my curious mind, too, I'm like, what are you packing down there? Like,
right?
What's
like,
the situation?
How big is it that people are looking at it and are like,
Whoa.
Because
people love a big D. So for it to be, like, scaring people away, it's going to be some serious, like, inches on
it. It has to, like, come down to his knees.
Like, it must.
And then he says you should see it when it's angry.
But ew, that was so gross. But wait, do you guys think that Del did sleep with him? Because that was the one thing that I was a little bit iffy about. Because it sort of just, like, ended, and then it flashed to him, like, wanting to kill himself.
Right.
So I'm like, does that mean that he didn't do it? Because to me, it said that he did it. And,
to
like,
me, it said
so
that he did it also.
So bad about it that he, like, was like, I'm done with my life.
Yeah, I know. I'm assuming that he did something.
Yeah.
With the angry penis.
With the very angry penis.
Which I can only imagine is so frightening when it's angry.
Oh, man.
Of Del's reaction to wanting to kill himself.
I know, seriously. Imagine, like, your dick makes someone want to kill themselves. Like, someone experiences your dick and is like, I'm going to hang myself.
Like,
have a nice life, everyone.
I've had a good life.
Yeah.
I've experienced enough. I'm ready to end it all. Because he was.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
And first he writes his letter to Desiree, which is his ex-lover. And then he writes it to Jimmy, and then he's like, no, I'm going to write it to my son.
Yeah.
I mean, which is the same person.
Very dramatic.
Very dramatic moment.
About Jimmy.
I would have loved to have read that letter.
I know. I don't like that they just sort of, like, breeze through it mm-hmm. super quick.
And then he's sort of plagued by Mon Petite, who's screaming at him, sign it!
I love her. Yeah. I miss her.
I miss her, too. And then Ethel telling him that he was never a strong man. And yes, we may have been freaks on the inside, but you are a freak on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
And it's time for you just to end it.
Yeah, and he's just like, I'm not here to stop you. I'm here to watch.
Right.
Like, straight up, do it. Like, let's go.
Ethel, as a ghost, is, like, spilling the truth tea.
Yeah. Well, yeah,
she's reading
Jimmy,
everyone.
She is
well,
reading everybody.
At the Tupperware party,
yeah.
She's mm-hmm. like, you're just like your dad. You're a drunk. Like, that was so sad. Like, you're let down.
Yeah.
I know, and then he's, like, crying in this, like, waspy lady's lap, and she's yeah. just like, whoa, dude.
Well, I mean, everyone, I feel like, is sort of burdened by her death, and it is taking it a lot harder than they took Mon Petite's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, Mon Petite was a big loss to everybody, but I feel like Ethel was sort of the glue.
The glue. 100%.
She was the glue. She cooked for everybody. She looked after everybody.
She put everyone in their place.
Yes. Mm-hmm. She was what Elsa
should
pretends
be.
To be and should
yes.
be.
Well, we need to talk about Elsa because Elsa is just like, I don't know what's going on with her. I feel like she, at the beginning of the season, felt very in control of everything.
We have a caller on the line, guys.
We do.
We do. All right, let's put them through.
Hello,
caller. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
This is Corey. I'm
oh, no.
Hi, Corey.
Hi, Corey.
Hi, Julie. So
Julie seems to know.
What'd you say?
I'm still waiting on that child support check. Clear, boo boo.
You're so stupid. What did you think of the show?
Do you guys like the show? I'm over the season. I'm not going to lie. At this point, I only fast forward to the parts that the iconic Queen Pepper is featured in. And then I just pray that she, like, utters out a word or two so I can, like, get my daily fix. And then I'm just over it. I think the show's jumped the shark.
Well, you know, I mean, that is sort of... I'm in agreement with you. I mean, this season has sort of... I mean, I feel like lost a lot of its viewership compared to last season. But, you know, it's a different story, so I'm entertained in a different way.
I think the idea for it... The idea got me really excited, like the whole concept they were going for, but I just don't think it was really executed as ingeniously as it could have been. And now with, like, all the main characters basically done, like, this being their last season, I think that it's just going to go downhill from here.
It's possible.
It is very possible.
I feel like it has been a little bit, like, redundant. It's almost like I'm watching it and I'm entertained, but I'm, like, waiting for something to happen. Like, even when people die at this point, I'm, like, not very surprised.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, where's the big bombshell going to come in where it's, like, this is the reason why? Or, like, this is the... You know, like Pandora's box, like this explains everything and ties everything together. Because I feel like it's just been a very like linear plot so far.
Well, have you been watching since the beginning?
Have I been?
Yeah.
Since season one, yeah.
Since season one. Okay, so do you feel that this is more comparable to season two as opposed to season one and season three, where season one and three focused on one main storyline as opposed to season two and season four, where they've sort of had a main storyline but jumped around between other ideas? Like season two had the aliens, this season
I didn't
had
like season two.
Twisty.
Yeah, I kind of agree with what Julie said too. That, I mean, when someone is killed off at this point, it's not even like, except for when God, what's her name, got killed off. Don't even
Ma Petite. I know how sad you are about that.
Yeah, don't even get me started. But I wasn't. It's an unpopular opinion, but I wasn't even a huge fan of season three. I know everybody kind of was, but I think season one was amazing, and then two, I was only there for Pepper, and then three, I just couldn't. And now this season, I'm done.
Well, this is sort of Pepper's pre-story.
I know, and next week is supposed to be all about Pepper, so you best believe I'm canceling all plans. And planting my damn ass on that couch.
That's great. But,
absolutely.
I'm not going to lie, I didn't even really watch tonight's episode. Was she in it at all? Did she have any iconic one-liners?
No.
No, she didn't have any appearances.
She was standing at the end when Jimmy was being taken away.
Oh, yeah.
But not... No line.
But in the preview, there was a lot of Pepper happening.
Yes,
so
there was.
You can stay tuned for that.
And, well, picking up on what you said about the viewership, actually, isn't this actually like the highest rated season? I thought, did you say the viewership was down this season? I thought I heard that this was the highest rated season of all four.
I may be wrong about that. Might be the highest viewership. I was under the assumption that season three did better. Of getting into the headlines and, like, people wanting to watch it and being more excited for it, as opposed to this one where people have tuned in because of their curiosity from season three, but people haven't really stuck around
for it.
It
hasn't sucked them in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the premiere was the highest rated episode out of all four seasons, but I don't know. I did follow up and see how, like, if the ratings could have gone down. But
as possible.
Okay, I just wanted to call in and say hi. Julie, do your damn thing, bitch.
Love you.
Julie's here. Love you.
Bye.
Thank you. That was great. That was our first caller this season.
Yay.
How exciting. What the hell are we talking
about? Corey always loves to call in with some very sassy and iconic commentary.
Well, thank you, Corey. I greatly appreciate it. What were we talking about before he even called in? I don't even
Stanley,
know.
Stanley, but I think we're over that.
We are over Stanley and his large
dog. We're talking
dog.
About Elsa.
Oh,
yeah.
Elsa.
Is just, like, totally, like, lost at this point. Mm-hmm. Because in the beginning, she was so in control of everything.
She
and
was.
She was on, like, a power trip. And now it's, like, I feel like she's just this, like, shell of a human being. Like, she's just like, I don't even know what the hell is going
on. Well, I sort of feel like Elsa goes back and forth between... And she struggles within herself of whether she's going to be a good person or whether she wants to advance her career.
Yes.
Yeah.
And this is sort of like, it's been a complete struggle for her since day one mm-hmm. as to what needs to happen. Is she willing to do whatever it needs to take to become a star again?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think she's just still waiting for her big break. She'll turn to Stanley for it. She'll...
And Stanley tonight, as we saw, is feeding her a line of shit.
Yeah.
About how he's got Dr. Sugar and he's gonna have the girls separated and they're gonna lead their lives.
And I'm so upset that Elsa, for being as smart and cunning as she is herself, mm-hmm. that she's falling for this.
I know, like, it's surprising.
Like, you know better than that.
It is surprising for her to sit there and listen to Stanley say that yes, they can be separated and they can live their lives as one-limbed ladies.
Mm-hmm. I honestly, what I kind of think, just from watching Elsa over the season, like, she has this weird, like, love-hatred with people, mm-hmm. and she doesn't want the spotlight to be taken away from her, so I feel like she feels, she probably knows that they're gonna die, mm-hmm. but I feel like she feels like if she just, like, eats up his bullshit and, like, pretends like she kind of believes it, then it's like she's not the bad guy. So she can walk away from the situation and be like, oh, for once, I'm not the
conscience
dick.
Clear.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
That does make sense. And I mean, it is sort of sad that she's playing dumb, as you want to have it,
yeah.
to move on with her life.
Well, she's kind of a selfish bitch.
She is.
I feel like Jessica Lange, though, I'm getting sick of her playing. She's amazing. Like,
she's incredible.
I live for Jessica Lange, but I feel like she plays variations of the same character every season.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, it's like that this strong, been... powerful woman who's like evil, but has this like inner turmoil about her morality and whatever. It's like, okay, can we just put Jessica Lange in like a totally different role and really let her show her chops, because we've seen the same character every season with a different outfit on.
Yeah.
You know, like in Asylum, we saw her, you know, in that weakened, vulnerable character. Mm-hmm. So maybe something like that to bring her back.
Yeah.
Is like powerless.
We want to see something different.
Yeah.
I mean, that has been sort of a complaint going around that I hear people saying that they're sick of seeing Jessica Lange play the same type of character, this woman.
Well, because she's so talented.
She's
insanely
talented.
And you know that she could do something like completely out of the box and nail it.
I mean, I guess we'll have to wait and see what happens next season, because we do know that she is coming back for next season.
Well, duh.
Well, duh. But I think she has said that next season's going to be her last. But, you know, as far as Elsa goes, I'm concerned for her safety.
I'm getting that vibe, too, as well.
I don't know why, but I feel like... Stanley isn't going to end up getting what he wants. Even though we see him, he's hired another escort.
Yeah.
Dr. Sugar. Dumb as rock. You couldn't have picked a better person to play it off.
Maybe this is his go-to in Jupiter.
He doesn't have the money that Dandy does to pay them.
That's
like,
true.
Bucks.
That's
it's like,
true.
Here's whatever I can give you.
Here's the $20 that I got.
Yeah.
To play Dr. Sugar, and he's sort of... You know, he's going to go back to this shack where Bet and Dot were put,
mm-hmm.
and they're not going to be there.
Yeah.
Because as we saw them by themselves talking about it, and...
Oh, I cried.
It was a very tender moment.
They're so cute.
They are really cute. I did not cry.
I didn't either. We're cold, heartless bitches.
Cold, heartless. No, I mean, I'm just not affected by people like that.
Yeah.
But that's okay. Where it was Dot who realizes that no matter what the doctor says, and no matter what anyone says, that there's no way that they can live separately.
Yeah.
And it was a very tender moment where she tells her sister that she wants to give up her life for her.
Mm-hmm. Bet does, right?
Dot tells Bet.
Oh.
I got confused, too, for a second.
No. Bet wants to give her life to Dot so that she can have one.
And that's
Remember,
why they
Bet
end
the
up sleeping with Jimmy. The blonde one. The dumber one.
Yeah.
Bette's blonde.
Bette is blonde.
I get so confused with them.
Well, it's literally the same person. So.
It is the same person.
It's easy to get it.
And they changed one of their hairs to try and make it easier for us, and it did not make it easier for me.
I
don't know why.
Bette the blonde. Bette
the blonde. Oh, there you go. That's
there you
perfect.
Go. Some alliteration for you. Yeah.
But them trying to sleep with Jimmy. That was a sad moment.
It was a sad moment. But, you know, despite Jimmy's inebriated state, he does the right thing.
Yeah, he does.
He doesn't go for it. I mean, earlier on when we saw him pounding Ima and he says, "Damn, I almost had a nut." Which was, I did not expect that to come
from
out of
him,
his mouth.
Yeah.
And Maggie sort of rips Ima a new one. It's like, you could be a donut. You could be
a pillowcase. I loved that comparison.
You could be
a sock.
Like, you could just be a hole. I mean, he doesn't care. But I mean, put in this situation where he does care for these two women.
Well, clearly, because she's right. When men are sad, they will literally slide their dick in anything. But the fact that he didn't shows that there is a respect level there, which I appreciate.
I appreciate too. And he says that he's in love with someone else. So hopefully we're going to see the softer side of Jimmy.
Yeah.
And hopefully he's going to get his shit together.
Yeah,
he will.
I hope so, too. He needs to lay off.
Well, let's hope so. I mean, we don't have that many
episodes left.
Well,
he can't drink in jail, so.
Oh, right. He got arrested. See, sometimes I forget what happens.
Yeah, I know. Because it's just so much.
So much happens.
Yeah.
And then they throw us at the end of the episode, him getting arrested for Dandy's murders, which I did not see coming. You saw coming.
I sure did.
I did not, which is surprising.
Well, I knew it when as soon as he found all the women in the pool, I was like, oh, Jimmy's totally getting blamed for this. Because it was right after Dandy's little speech where he was like, I'm going to ruin your life. I'm going to take away everything you love and I'm going to destroy you. So I was like, there's no way that Dandy, because Dandy knows that Jimmy doesn't care about these people. So him just murdering them for fun doesn't really coincide with his agenda. But him framing it on him absolutely does. Because once Jimmy is out of the picture, then it gives Dandy more control to go on the freak show and do whatever he wants. Because right now, Jimmy is sort of like, you know.
Head honcho.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So much is happening.
It's crazy.
It is crazy.
I'm so terrified of, like, Dandy and the cop working together.
Yeah.
I mean,
a lot
they
of bad
can
things
do
can happen.
Anything now. They can do anything. Dandy already thought he could do anything, but then now he has the cop backing him up and protecting him and framing other people. Like, he can do whatever he wants now.
He's a very scary character.
Like, he is a scary character, but the cop tells Jimmy, and the only reason he was able to frame him is because Jimmy left his glove there.
Mm-hmm.
Had Jimmy kept his shit with him, that would have never happened.
Yep.
Yeah.
Do you guys think he's going to, like, stay in jail? Oh, that's predictions. Okay.
That is predictions.
Somebody has to help him.
Somebody has to help him. Somebody will help him. But I think that's our episode, right?
Yeah.
Is there anything else that anyone wants to discuss?
Okay, so Del hanging himself.
Okay,
I couldn't watch.
Yes.
But out of all people that could have saved him, it was Desiree.
She still
loved him. Did that surprise anybody?
It did sort of surprise me, only because there is another man in her life, whom we met tonight.
Oh, Theo Huxtable.
Theo Huxtable. But his character name is... He had three names.
Angus something.
What? He had three names.
Angus T. Jefferson.
See?
There you
three
go.
Three names. Thank you for finding that. And despite her having another beau, as she calls him, she does still love him. Which doesn't surprise me that she's still in love with him. I don't know. Did it surprise you that she's
still in love
with
him? It surprised me. I thought she was so over him. You know.
But, you know,
still don't want him to die.
Right?
Yeah, that's true.
Like, my ex-boyfriend of 6 years and I just had, like, a very nasty breakup. And, like, I want nothing to do with him. But I definitely don't want him to die.
That's true.
And if you walked in on him hanging himself, you'd save him.
Of course.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fine.
She has a heart. She spent a lot of time with this man.
And I think probably the fact that she has someone new in her life and she's probably, like, happy and in a good place, she can look at Del and feel sorry for him because he's just so pathetic and such a mess right now. And she's, you know, sort of risen above. So I feel like she's like, let me help you out.
that she knows more about Del than she's letting on.
I think she knows that he's gay.
Yeah. That's exactly what I'm getting at.
Because in the very beginning, didn't we see that she would walk in on him and another guy? Didn't we see that?
Mm-mm. That was him with her. Him walking in on her with another guy.
Oh, okay. That's right.
But those were all gay men.
Yes.
Okay.
So, I mean, things are a little tricky. And, I mean, she thought that she was part man and part woman.
She just had a big clip.
Right.
That's all.
That is all. Nothing wrong with that. It's not the first time we've seen one of those.
Lord.
One night in China.
One night in Thailand.
Look it up.
All of our viewers now are going to be Googling.
I'm in the middle of you two, like, what is happening?
You're like, what is going on?
I'll explain to you later.
Earmuffs.
anything else from the episode that anyone wants to discuss?
Nothing. So, I mean, we talked about Stanley lying to the girls. We've covered everything.
I mean, that's everything. Let's jump into news and gossip, because there is some really interesting stuff happening out there.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Pega, what do you got?
So Chrissy Metz, who plays Barbara Amma Wiggles, was just interviewed. Us Weekly reported that she was scared out of her mind with the show. Mm. She had watched 1, 2, and 3, I believe, through her fingers.
Oh, scared like that. Okay.
Yeah, like blood and guts scares her. It really sticks with her. But she had to convince herself, you know, the blood is fake. I'm a part of the show now. I'm not watching it. I can do this. But what scared her most was the conniving nature of the characters and how they could be so evil instead of just like the blood and guts part of it. So that really scared her. I thought that was interesting to read.
It is very interesting. Where can people find that? Is that online?
That's on Us Weekly.
Okay, cool.
Yep. Just came out today. And then we have news on the American Crime Story coming out, which is their new series.
Some casting news.
Yeah, The People vs. O.J. Simpson. They've cast Cuba Gooding Jr. as O.J. Simpson.
Mm-hmm.
And then Marsha Clark, the attorney, is being played by
Sarah Paulson,
which I feel like she is going to do such a good job with that role.
I do too.
I see it already.
She's going to be incredible. I love her.
Yeah, me too.
But people are wondering and people are concerned that it's going to conflict with American Horror Story. But I don't think it's going to, only because they're set to start filming really soon.
Yeah.
As in, like, January soon.
Right. Yeah. They have time.
They have time to, like, film that show and for her to still be able to do Freak Show.
Yeah, I don't think they would ever jeopardize Sarah being in.
Well, Sarah was not in season one, if you remember.
No, she was.
She was.
She was?
She was a psychic.
Oh, my God, she totally
that came to Jessica Lange's house.
Oh, yes, but she had a very small role in season one.
Corda? What was her name? Oh, no, that was Kevin.
Yeah, but I forget her name. But
yeah.
I forgot. Well, whatever.
It was so long ago.
It was a long time ago, and a lot has happened since then. And Emma Roberts is joining
Scream
Queens with Jodie Foster.
Jamie Lee Curtis.
Who am I?
It's okay.
Excuse me.
Wait, so that's part of American Crime Story?
No, that's a different show.
What's it about?
I have no idea.
Interesting.
It's a new show that's also coming out
next year. Roberts.
I do too. So hopefully she'll be returning to American Horror Story, but I don't know if she will be able to.
Ooh.
So we'll have
that
to
doesn't work for me. She's going to need to figure that out.
Well, hopefully the filming schedules don't conflict.
I hope so.
Because, I mean, Gabourey had conflicting filming schedules, which is why she wasn't necessarily in this season.
Well, I think she's terrible anyway, so I'm happy that she wasn't in the season, because watching her in Coven was like torturous.
She was so different. I enjoyed it because she was different. Whatever, I think she's terrible also. But
okay, then,
but it was a different, different side, which I enjoyed. Any other news and gossip?
That's all I've got.
That's all you've got. Okay, well, before we jump into predictions, I want to give our Freaks of the Week on Twitter, at Jan Van S. Thank you so much for all the artwork that you put out there and the predictions and things like that. It's great hearing from you, so keep that up. And on YouTube, we had a whole bunch of interesting comments. Really interesting comments. So thank you for those, guys. Keep them up. Gino, I think Gino Schreiber, was wondering if there was a connection between Dr. Oliver to Dr. Thredson in season two. Dr. Oliver is the psychologist from this season.
Oh.
Huh.
Yeah. So people are out there. You guys are out there trying to connect the season.
Piece it together.
I love that.
And, you know, I hadn't thought about it.
I'm going to research this when I get home.
Okay.
Dr. Oliver. Okay, sorry. Go ahead.
But there are, I mean, there are a lot of other ones out there. I mean, David Coca said some really great stuff. So look at those comments. And S. Slavin had some really interesting things. And Dennis Stevens on YouTube also had some really interesting things to talk about. So, I mean, thank you guys for your comments. It's really great to see you guys trying to, you know, piece things together and sort of, you know, finish the wheel.
Yeah, I love your guys' input. It really kind of makes me think even more.
Yeah, yeah. So thanks for that. Let's jump into predictions.
Now, you're after Buzz TV. Predictions.
Okay. So I'm starting with you, Julie. What are your predictions?
My predictions? Well, I don't know, because it's like so many things happened. Like, now that like Dandy and the cop are teamed up, I have a feeling that, I have a feeling that now that Jimmy is in jail, like I said earlier, I feel like Dandy is going to use that as an opportunity to somehow like take people down in the freak show and like maybe like kidnap Ben and Dot back or something like that. Because the fact, like we talked about earlier, where he was trying to, get Regina to get in the bathtub with him. He's sort of, like, reaching out, like, even with the cop, like, he wants, like, a partner in crime sort of thing. And I feel like he's feeling this, like, loneliness. So I feel like he's going to really try to get them back.
Well, he had a friend in Twisty. So now he has a friend in the cop.
That's true.
What about you, Pego?
I think something's going to happen where Jimmy's going to get out. He can't be in jail forever. Somebody's going to vouch for him. Somebody's going to break him out of jail. Something's going to happen. He's going to get out. Stanley, he still doesn't know that the twins ran away.
No.
So he's going to come back and
be pissed.
Be pissed and try to do something.
Well, in the preview, didn't it show Stanley was kind of the one trying to get Jimmy out of jail?
He was talking to him.
So maybe he realizes the twins ran away and he's like, the only person that can get them back is Jimmy.
Maybe.
And that's why he wants to get him out. Because there's no other reason why he would care if he's out.
No.
And then we see a little preview of, Pepper's
brother.
Not doing well? Was he like in a deathbed or something? I don't know. And Pepper was kind of...
He looked like he was dead. Okay, this is going to be my prediction.
Okay, go ahead.
So, since I think there is going to be a lot more focus on Pepper next week, because her brother's dead, I think this is where we're going to get her prequel story to Asylum. And then she's going to be blamed for the murders. So I think...
Oh, and then that's how she ends up in the asylum.
Yes. Because the asylum was for the criminally insane.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, my gosh.
So that's my prediction.
Pepper.
But I think that there is going to be another death.
Many, probably. With
next week, though. In the freak show, and I'm going to predict Ima.
Oh, so soon? She
because Jimmy slept with her, think? So he's, Dandy's thinking, like, I'm just gonna off her.
Yeah, that's true.
And she's, like, the most irrelevant character.
Exactly.
So, like, bye.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Sadly, but true. But that is our show. Where can everybody find you, lovely ladies?
My Twitter handle and Instagram is at Julie Ovcharsky.
And I'm on Instagram and Twitter at Pegarad.
And I'm on Twitter and Instagram at You Can Call Me Skip. So from everyone here from the AfterBuzz TV studios, we want to say thank you for joining us. And we'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.